Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So folks, it was 2 years ago. I mean, I couldn't actually believe it. 2 years ago when we heard of 21 teenagers who have died at a tavern in Nyobeni Tavern. You may remember that in the Eastern Cape. And this story has really, really for me, it stood out because it says so much about our society and how sometimes these are just, you know, just 21 teenagers. These are just young people who really don't have big names. So everybody is very slow in acting on their behalf. Nobody really moves because, you know, they don't have big names and we can almost forget about them. That it's been 2 years and you still hear parents say, we do not have closure. Folks, it really, really should be something we're all ashamed of. I've got one of the parents here on the line with us just to talk to us about what this 2 year has meant to them as a family, how it has been, and whether there is, you know, how do they feel about where the things are right now? So I do have on the line, as I said, it's a parent. This is a father of one of the young people that died there. Apparently it was a 17-year-old son. And I'd like to hear whether they have any closure. Did they manage to get any information? And it's been really, really interesting also how the state has conducted itself with regards to this particular case. And I do want you to be a part of this conversation. And if you want to just add in your thoughts, you are very welcome to do that on 086-000-959. I am on the line with Khulelekile Ngandana, and he is the father of a 17-year-old young man who passed away as one of the 21 teenagers that passed away at that Nyobeni Tavern. I really appreciate you making time for us. Good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening, panel. Good evening to the listeners as well.
I suppose I have to ask how the family is holding up.
Well, it's still difficult. More especially the fact that we haven't got the answers yet. So it's quite difficult to have closure when you don't have answers.
Then tell me, Mauti, you don't have answers yet. We know that for some time you are not given the autopsy reports. What responses have you been given to the state?
Well, now that there is an inquest in place, so our hope is that, as we all know, that the inquest is an investigation.
Yeah.
To try and find out as to really what happened there, and to see to it if there is anyone who can be prosecuted for what happened to our children. So now the inquest, we hope it will reveal the answers that we've been looking for. Because from the very onset, we rejected what we were given as the reason for the death of our son.
And what were those reasons?
The reason was for asphyxiation, which is some sort of, they were told that it was too full in that place. So now the children suffocated because of that. And they were trying to go out. Or, strangely, because the doctor who gave us the result, he said because that place was too full, as they were dancing, they were squeezing each other. As they were dancing, so that was the reason that killed them.
Had you always, I mean, we believe that the community had always raised concerns around this tavern. Were you always concerned about what was happening in the tavern?
Well, to be honest, I'm not coming from that area.
Yeah.
As you know, that East London is quite a big town.
Yeah.
It's got surrounding townships.
Yeah.
Some of the children were not coming from that location of Scenic Park. So, but according to the community of that area, there have been quite a lot of complaints about that area, about the noise that was coming from that area, about the young children that were allowed to get into that establishment. And on that particular night, the night before, which it was on Saturday, apparently there was a DJ that was going to play a birthday of a DJ. There was an advert that was on social media inviting people. More especially, if you look at it, it concentrated more especially to the young one. So that's the reason why the kids were there, because you know children, they love music. So anything that has got to do with music and the DJs, so they wanted today to go and enjoy themselves in that place. But unfortunately, they wanted to enjoy themselves in a wrong place, which is a tavern.
Is there any other sense of closure that you have with regards to other testimonies? Were other people able to tell you what they think happened?
Well, except for the children who survived in that place. Because all the children who survived there, they're saying one thing. That something that was, they don't know what is it, but something that suffocated the children, something that was sprayed in that area.
A smell of sorts.
A smell of sorts, yes. It was sprayed, and then when the children wanted to go out, the door was locked.
So they could smell something different, something that was unusual.
Yes, they could smell something that was unusual. And then they started to panic, and they wanted to go out. But unfortunately for them, the door was closed.
The arrest of the tavern owners, did it mean anything?
Well, yes, I would say yes. Because as much as... The person who lay charge, it was instantly Kabod. So they were found guilty. Then it meant something because they were found guilty. But there were quite a lot of technicalities legally.
Yeah.
Because the only child that they were charged with, it's only one child. The child who was part of the people who were testimony on that in court, because he was the only one who could say that he was in there and he actually bought liquor inside there. As much as our children died in there, according to the law or according to the court, there's no evidence as to say that they bought alcohol in that place on that fateful night.
You know, inquests can take a very long time.
Yes, inquests can take quite a long time, and we are aware of that. Some of us, we are aware of that. But I mean, some of the parents really they are panicking. But we know anything that has to do with law, it's not an overnight thing. It takes some time. You can even look at now at cases that are happening around South Africa. It takes quite a lot of time. We just need to be patient so that at the end of all this, we will be able to get the information that we need.
And now that we are here, it's 2 years down the line and you don't have enough closure, you know, what would you like to see happen?
Well, what we would like, I would like to see happen is it's to get to the bottom of this. I hope that the investigation can do quite a thorough work to see to it if there are any people or a person that needs to be prosecuted, then those people or that person should be prosecuted. I mean, yes, there are laws in South Africa, but sometimes you doubt if they are working. It doesn't work properly if you put the laws and then there's no monitor, there's no evaluation of those laws. Because if the community were complaining about that, they didn't just complain willy-willy. They went to the law enforcement agencies to complain about that, but no action was taken about it.
Do you feel things got out of hand and then immediately afterwards the problem was that the state, the police did not react adequately? Do you think things were delayed at that stage when evidence and investigations were supposed to happen quickly? Where do you think it went wrong in terms of how information was gathered, why it's taking so long to get some sort of a response?
Well, that's one of the things that I was saying. You know, sometimes you thought, because first, from the very first onset when this incident happened, most of us, we ask that why an inquest is not being opened. But it take almost a year before the inquest was open. So for quite a long time, nothing was being done with regard to that. But at a later stage, the decision was made as to that there has to be an inquest for a fact finding mission as to really what happened to the children who passed away in that place.
I'm going to ask Baba to take a listen. There's a call coming through. I think this gentleman wants to talk to you. Snega's calling from Kagiso. Snega, thanks for calling. Good evening and welcome.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Good. Well, we can still pass condolences and say we are sorry. But we know this won't change anything, to be honest. But going forward, I want to say this, Pamela, not only to the dead who's still grieving. Next to where I live in my community, you would, on a weekly basis, find these young people leaving their homes, right? They come to next to our houses, they blom there, they smoke, they drink there, these young people. I always say them, and my question would be, are they able to do what they're doing next to their parents' home? They would easily run away because they know they're not allowed to do such things. So, but I'm saying going forward, probably we should now start looking into the involvement of the general community in raising
all children,
our kids. Because if you don't do this, it's going to happen somewhere. Because maybe most of us don't do this. When we see kids doing wrong things, we don't do anything.
You look the other way.
Also, we feel like the parents will come and say, you've been abusive to our kids. So until communities are going to say, the activism that died in 1994 must be brought back and start taking care of kids that are not our biological kids, maybe something will change.
But Mkandani, I hope it doesn't sound like a blaming game. How do you feel? Do you feel that the community should have done something to stop this from happening?
Well, that's exactly the way that we are hoping to take. As their parents, we have an NPO that we have registered, our aim is exactly as my brother is saying there. This is not only the law enforcement matter. It is also the responsibility of the community. to see to it. You know, in nowadays, you know, your child is my child, my child is your child. So if you see a children misbehaving, you take action there and then. But in these days, parents will just pass by when see children doing things that they are not supposed to do. This is not only for the government or for any other person, but the communities need to be fully involved to try and bring what our children are supposed to be brought up.
Siyabulela, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. As we, again, as Snega was saying earlier, we continue to say our condolences and may you heal and may you get the answers that you need, because this cannot be easy. So our hearts and prayers are with you and your family.
Thank you very much for
that. Kulegi Lengandana is one of the fathers of those 21 teenagers who passed away at the Enyobeni Tavern. And that inquest continues. Unfortunately, he has lost his 17-year-old son. And 2 years down the line, the family still does not have closure.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.